Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lot of people say this should be our theme music. I agree. I do. This is The Odd Couple. Many people call us radio's Odd Couple. Code word this hour is couple. You ever seen this show, Valero, The Odd Couple?
No.
Never seen The Odd Couple.
What's it about?
There's three people in the studio with Valero right now. They are all engineers. Tree, Ed Huerta, and Steph. And I find it funny because no one ever does anything around here other than reboot. So why would you need to call in three engineers to hit restart on the computer? That's their answer for everything.
That on-off button. Get Ed! Call Tree!
The code word this hour is couple. It's WQAM's $1,000 slap shot. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word couple to 72881. 72881. WQAM's $1,000 slap shot brought to you by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Again, text the word couple right now to 72881. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 4 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive.
There you go, Steph.
Reboot. Reboot that bad boy. Nah, Jack. All right, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Manny Navarro is there. He's a columnist and the Miami Hurricanes beat writer for The Athletic. And we still don't know about Jalen Hurts yet, do we, right? He was
I haven't heard anything.
Visiting. He was at Prime 112. You were a little angry when we talked with Gino Toretta yesterday. He's like, $20 was my visit limit.
Listen, I don't want to call the NCAA, but I don't know a meal at Prime 112 for $40.
I think it's a little bit different nowadays. Let's ask Manny Navarro from The Athletic. Hello, Manny.
What's going on, fellas?
Is that the new norm where you take a potential recruit, a potential transfer to like the most expensive steakhouse in your city?
Hey, man, that's been going on for years. Did you read my Willie Williams diaries back in the day?
Willie Williams, was he ever eligible? He lost all his eligibility doing Willie Williams things.
Right, he did something else for that, but yeah, man. I mean, steak, lobster. I mean, that's the way they live, don't they?
Man, that's a good selling point for the University of Miami, right? You take them to Prime 112. Anybody who's anybody is there. What is the chance on Jalen Hurts?
Well, everything I heard the other night when I was talking to some people internally was they really feel this is like a 50-50 thing. I think 50 of it is Miami, 50 of it is Oklahoma. I think those were sort of the two leaders in the clubhouse. And then it's just a matter of, you know, where he feels like he can do his most damage and help himself get into the NFL. I think, obviously, at Oklahoma, you've produced two Heisman Trophy winners in that offense there with Lincoln Riley and you know, guys that have certainly gotten a lot of hype and recognition. And here at Miami, you know, it's been quite the opposite of late. Obviously, he knows Dan Enos and he knows how much he's helped them. But you look at this roster compared to Oklahoma's, and Oklahoma's obviously in a better position to win. So right now, I think, you know, I'd personally call Oklahoma the leader in the clubhouse, but I wouldn't rule out Miami at all. I think the fact that Enos has helped him progress so much as a quarterback and really improve, I think he's certainly weighing that as a reason why to come here.
And, Manny, we already heard, you know, rumors that Jaren Williams was thinking about transferring. Now if you bring in a guy that's coming in to start, he's not coming as a grad transfer to sit behind anybody. Does that encourage in either of those young guys, Nikosi or Jaren, to transfer?
Of course. I mean, I think nowadays that's the thing to do. If you're a quarterback and you're not playing, you transfer. That's what all of them do. I just think, you know, look, these guys are going to go into spring football. They're going to compete. They're going to try to prove to Dan Enos why they should start. But you're right. I think if Jalen Hurts comes here, the writing's on the wall for those two guys, at least for the 2019 season. is it a smart thing to transfer when a graduate transfer is coming in and you're still only a redshirt freshman? I'd say no, because odds are anywhere else you go, you won't see the field immediately anyway. But who knows? I mean, a lot of this is ego, man. A lot of this is guys just feeling like they need to be treated like a king or the starter or whatever you want to call it. And in the end, if another quarterback comes in, it could damage the egos of these guys, and that's why they decide to leave. And you know what? It's fine. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there. Dan Enos has been recruiting guys to Alabama. I'm sure he's going to recruit somebody in the class of 2020 for Miami.
And a bigger picture on, you know, I don't want to say accepting grad transfers, but building your team through that, does that kind of give you a cloud over your organization, knowing that, hey, at any moment this team is going to bring in grad transfers that'll start over a guy that's been here 3 years grinding?
I think it's just the way the new college football is going to look, man. I think, you know, this NCAA transfer portal, which basically launched in October, I think it's the beginning of college football free agency, really. I mean, you know, before guys would invest time and energy into a school and they said, well, I'm not going to leave. I've already been here too long. I want to graduate. I want to get to the NFL. Nowadays, I think guys are going to be making decisions a lot earlier, right after their freshman year, right after their sophomore year, and jumping in and trying to get waivers so that they can play somewhere else. And so what I'm interested to see now, Channing, is what's going to happen in the future as far as waivers and what guys are sort of given a break for, you know, and I think if there's a roadmap to figuring out, hey, this is what the NCAA is going to give me a waiver for, you're going to see guys using that excuse more so they don't have to sit out of you when they transfer.
Yeah, I think what happens is stuff, it becomes the norm and you kind of see it happening. I remember with the NBA, it was like, wait a second, they're taking a night off because they're playing a back-to-back? That doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden, now you look at the schedule when it comes out and you're like, okay, he probably won't play this night, that night, that night. It just becomes the norm. I think you're right. College free agency is upon us.
But how much tougher does that make coaching when just this guy gets upset, he leaves?
Oh my God.
You can't build a team that way.
It takes away a lot of the power from the coach, doesn't it? Because the power that
Absolutely. You
have, hey, you're a starter or you're not a starter, you got to play your ass off. No, I'm just not here anymore. So you're like, and then you've got to hit a home run on your quarterback or else you're sunk.
Well, what this means is what Manny Diaz talked about the other day about re-recruiting his own players. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do constantly is re-recruit your own players on the roster and continue to tell them, hey, if you work hard, this job can be yours. And it's just a matter of motivating guys, not just the guys that you're recruiting every single year out of high school, but the guys on your roster. So It's going to be tricky. It's going to be messy here in the early going. And I know some college football fans that might get turned off by the whole thing or be scared about it. But like you said, Hawk, I think in a couple of years, this is just going to be the norm. We're going to sort of expect it to be this way.
Manny Navarro is with us. You could read his work at The Athletic. Jeff Thomas, he flirted with coming back to UM, ultimately decided not to. What happened there?
Well, I think ultimately the Hurricanes decided as a team that, they didn't want him back. I think Manny Diaz has sort of come out and over the last couple of days since Sunday night and, you know, having those guys come out to WWE, you know, wrestling mats and all that, which is quite entertaining. I think he's delivered this message of, hey, we've got a vision for the future of this program, and this is the kind of attitude we want you guys to carry. And I think ultimately Jeff was given no guarantees that he would be welcome back and be able to play right away. He'd probably be suspended for a game or two for basically being dismissed from the team. And I think he wasn't cool with any of that. And in the end, he realized the more sure thing for him was going to Illinois. And so that's why he ultimately decided to go back up to Illinois.
And, Manny, I was talking about when Jalen was coming in, and, you know, I'm the Gator. Everybody wants to kill me. But I don't know how talented UM is. I don't know if you're coming in like Jalen Hurts. Is he coming in with a bunch of talent around him? So I want to ask you, like Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, we'll do the, you know, college football playoff teams. Their talent is 10 out of 10. Between 1 through 10, they're 10 out of 10. Where does Miami fall between 1 through 10 when you talk about just pure talent on the roster?
Yeah. It's funny you asked me that because I did some research on that at the end of the season, just looking to see how many like 4- and 5-star recruits were on the roster at all those schools that you mentioned. And you're right. I think, you know, there's no doubt that the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, and Clemsons are all, you know, much more loaded than Miami is. But I'd say the next tier are where Miami, Florida, Texas, teams like that, that's where they're located. FSU, they're all in that sort of next tier where they've got between, you know, 36 and 40 four and five star recruits on the roster. So I'd say Miami's talent right now is comparable to what Florida has. With a starting quarterback like Jalen Hurts, come August 31st, to me that levels the playing field in that game.
How do you like the staff that Manny Diaz has put together?
So far, I like it. I mean, I think Enos is a really good quarterbacks coach, a guy who obviously has had success making quarterbacks a lot better, and that's the biggest problem this team has right now. They need to come in and really work with Jaron and Nikosi and the guys that they have on the roster and make them better, and then go out and recruit better talent. If Jalen Hurts comes in, obviously right away in 2019, I think the expectations for this team change. So I like the Enos hire. I thought the hire of Blake Baker as defensive coordinator was a really smart move. I mean, he basically replaced Manny at Louisiana Tech, ran the same exact defense, had success there, and has been sort of been groomed by Manny to be the guy. And, you know, Manny's whole thought process throughout all of this is, I always want to have assistant coaches, position coaches, who are being groomed to be coordinators, because the world of college football is real simple. When you have success, your coordinators get hired away to be head coaches elsewhere. So for sustained success, you gotta have guys sort of waiting in the wings. And I think Manny's certainly hired two really good coordinators to groom the position coaches behind them.
Manny Navarro, again, you can read his work at The Athletic. He's a columnist. He covers the Hurricanes. You give up your Netflix subscription and you get a subscription to The Athletic. You don't have to sit through Bird Box. There's nothing that The Athletic will put out that's worse than Bird Box. So you're already ahead of the game if you get yourself a subscription. We've talked with you for years. You've covered so many press conferences in your tenure as a writer. Have you seen anything like Adam Gase's press conference yesterday in New York with the eyes darting all over the place? Like, have you seen something like that?
I just wonder if the reason he's been wearing that hat on the sideline for so many years and in the press conference is because he didn't want us to see his eyes sort of dance around. It was so weird. I felt like I was watching a cartoon. It almost looked like Roger Rabbit or something. Like, there was something.
Yeah, where the
animated
eyes were popping out of his head.
Right. It just totally freaked me out. And I've been laughing all day at all the little memes that have been created. I saw one on there that was sort of a Curb Your Enthusiasm with the little music in the background, and it's hysterical.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And we were talking, Crowder and I were talking, like, you have one objective at an introductory press conference. One objective, that's to sell yourself and get the fan base excited about you and the future, and he failed.
Yeah, I it was just a really weird press conference, and you know, the fact that people are still laughing about it a day later and joking about it, it's not good for Adam Gase. Hopefully he wins to sort of make people forget about that. Although down here, nobody wants to see the Jets win.
So yeah, I think this is a great harbinger of not winning. I think this is great. I'm very excited about it. All right. Manny Navarro, again, read his work in The Athletic. We always appreciate you making time for us. Somebody texts in, question for your guest. Did Mark Richt give up? Can you answer that quickly?
I would say Mark Richt quit because he didn't want to have to fire his coaching staff. And I think ultimately having to go through that process with his son was something that he just didn't want to do.
And the way that he did it, both Crowder and I maintain, I think, was pretty stand up, right? He didn't hold the university hostage.
That's correct. And certainly he, I know that he endorsed Manny Diaz to replace him, and there may have been some money left on the table in some regard to make sure that Manny got that job. So I think Mark Richt walked away wanting Miami to be in a better position and just not wanting to be the bad guy and having to fire a bunch of his friends.
Did Adam Gase win the eye test? Thank you. Thank you, Manny. And we appreciate everyone coming out. Manny Navarro from The Athletic. See you, Manny.
See you, boys.
Manny Navarro from The Athletic. Eye of the Gase. Any opposing team should play this when the Jets run out.
Like they did Kawhi.
Yes! You gotta troll Adam Gase the way that they all trolled Kawhi. It was the Bucks that trolled Kawhi. He'd play the Bucks tonight?
Yes, in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. Does Bob Bugner, head coach of the Florida Panthers, get fired after tonight's game if they lose? No. I think there's a chance he gets fired if they win.
Really?
I really do. I don't think you have looked to see how bad this Panthers team is playing right now.
Oh, no. I've seen that they've lost in 8 seconds and things of that nature. I've watched that, Hawk. But we've talked about it before. They fired Gallant halfway through the season, and then that season went to hell. Was that Rowe?
This season's already in hell.
Just let him ride hell out and then fire him the offseason. Like, do it the normal way.
You're not going to make the playoffs,
that's
right?
What I'm saying. So you fire Bugner, and you bring in somebody else, or whatever the name is. That turns the team around?
Like, no. Although the Marlins did do that one year. They went to the World Series and I believe won the World Series the year that Jack McKeon took over, right? That was 03?
03, yeah.
I mean, it could happen. They still have talent. All they need to do is get in the playoffs. Like that, you know, we have this same damn conversation every year. How many games do they have in hand? Like, I mean, it's silly talk already.
About two.
I would not be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked, is what I'm saying, is if Bob Bugner got fired after tonight's game in Montreal. A game you can hear right here on your flagship station for the Florida Panthers, 560 WQAM. I became Casey Kasem.
That was good.
And WQAM, by the way, invites you to join our sister station, Kiss Country, 34th Annual Chili Cook-Off, powered by Ford. It's January 26th, CB Smith Park in Pembroke Pines. Great acts this year. Brooks and Dunn, Luke Combs, Rodney Atkins, Low Cash, lots of others. You can get tickets right now at WKIS.com. Man, if they got weather like today for that Chili Cook-Off, holy hell, is it nice out here. You know, we're leaving for Vegas tomorrow. It's going to be cold.
I don't like that.
It's going to be in the 40s, man.
40s?
It's going to be cold.
Come on, man. You got to tell them, put that away.
But if that weather is like that for the Chili Cook-Off, but don't wait much longer if you're thinking about getting tickets, man. You want to get your tickets now. Go to WKIS.com. WKIS.com. A lot of people, we've talked heavy-duty sports for an hour and a half. Well, when I say heavy-duty, we've dabbled. But a lot of people have been fascinated, and this has a sports skeleton to it because it was Clemson and it was celebrating the national championship. A lot of people have been fascinated that President Trump catered the visit to the White House yesterday with fast food. Now, I don't know where you stand on this.
It's embarrassing.
I have a couple of opinions on it, and I haven't given it too much thought. There's a couple things at play. There's a partial government shutdown, so much of the White House staff is furloughed. So they needed to bring in food, and Donald—
You can go to the Longhorns.
Right. You could. You could go to a catering company. He owns a hotel that's got a catering division just down the street. So
Tucker Duke's burgers are delicious.
Right. You could do a lot of things.
If you want to go burger, go Good Burger.
Well, and what you generally do if you're going to cater burgers, let's say you're going to turn it into a cookout or whatnot. If you're going to cater burgers, generally you get to create the burger the way that you want it, right? So the burger is prepared plain, and then if you want to put some ketchup on it, some mustard, pickles, onions, however you want to do it. When you get all the fast food pre-made, it's all however it comes, standard.
And do you know that these college athletes eat better than any of us?
Oh, I would imagine, right? Certainly at a university like Clemson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Miami, UM, I just saw some spread. Somebody on Twitter put out a UM eating dinner after their workout or something. Sweet potatoes, baked potatoes, steak, chicken breast, fish next to that. And then all your salads, 6-7 different type pasta salads and all. They eat like kings to prepare their body to perform at a high level because that's what athletes do. And you're going to force them to eat McDonald's and Burger King? That is embarrassing.
Now, I don't have that much of a problem with it because I love fast food.
A celebration?
Celebrate with
McDonald's?
So here's my biggest problem with it. If I'm putting on a suit and tie, then I expect something maybe at least off a plate. That like I'm setting the bar low there. But if I go somewhere and I put on a suit and tie, I generally am expecting maybe, you know, some mashed potatoes, a little filet,
a grown-up dinner.
A grown-up dinner. But I will say this. Plenty of bar mitzvahs that I've gone to, they have the adult section at the party and the kids section. And I find myself walking over to the kids section because the food there is better.
I got you, Hawk. Well, that's ridiculous, that last statement. I got you. You get bar mitzvahed at what?
13.
13's a nay. I knew that. I was just asking. These boys are 20 to 24 years old. They don't want to eat no damn Burger King, McDonald's, Domino's at a celebration of being the best college team in the world. That is, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. And those dudes yesterday were laughing at it. No. I would have got me a little, I don't know if they had any desserts. I'd have got me one of them apple pies and told them, stop at a real restaurant. I need to eat a grown-up meal.
But they're not going in the White House to eat food.
Yes, you are.
No, you're going to meet the president.
No, that's all you're doing while you're there.
That's really the festivities is probably, you know, a brunch or a meeting. Like,
I thought it was just to take a picture.
You think they get to nap? They get to nap in the Oval?
It's part
of it. They take a tour of the White House. Yeah, but they're not going to eat.
They take a picture, they eat and leave.
Somebody just texted in. I have a buddy. He and his wife had Chipotle cater their wedding, best wedding ever. I'm not kidding. There's something to be said for comfort food. I'm not certain that I have much of a problem with it.
Comfort food?
Yeah, comfort food.
What did they get?
Mac
did they get kidnapped or did they win a national championship? They need to come home and feel, McDonald's is here again. They were stuck in the desert. Come on back home, eat McDonald's to make you feel it. Oh, that's silly. That's silly.
So if you're going to celebrate someone...
You celebrate.
Yeah. You do something a little out of the ordinary, although a trip to the White House is a little out of the ordinary.
Fast food. It's called fast food.
Right.
It's a rush.
It was beautifully displayed, though. You'll give me that.
The schedules were set last year. Oh, no. 2017, the schedules were set for teams to play for months to get to the national championship. To know that whoever wins that national championship is going to go eat at the White House.
Well,
you couldn't prepare better than fast food.
They didn't
know
there was going to be a shutdown, though.
Listen, how many guys went, would you think? And a college team, 150? I could barbecue for 150 people. I could make ribs for 150 people. Throw some potato salad in there. Make a little macaroni and cheese plate, the big ones that you keep the meat in. Make two or three of them, put them in the oven. I could prepare a better meal than what they served them young men.
You know what I love? We're literally just talking about fast food at a celebration, and people on the text machine think it's political. That is so hysterical to me. If you heard anything of what we said and you believe it's political, you need to get your head checked. We're talking about throwing a party and whether it's appropriate to cater it with fast food.
I had an Obama sticker on the back of my pickup truck for years. I would have roasted his ass if he served somebody McDonald's, Domino's, and Burger King for a celebration.
I mean, get your heads out of your butts for 3 minutes.
And then what's more
talk
embarrassing.
Talk about what's important.
Did you hear the prayer before they ate?
So now you were telling me, I hadn't heard this because I didn't look into it too much. So Trump said, what, a prayer because he loves fast food?
Some words over the food, but it was crazy.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, hey, Zeus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons.
Eric, Donald Jr., DJ.
As we call. And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife,
Melania,
who's a stone-cold fox.
Wow.
Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate,
Sean Hannity,
who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Wow. I hadn't heard that part, and that's as jovial as you'll hear, Donald Trump. I thought that was some nice words. He had some nice things to say, and
just appreciates the fast food.
He appreciates fast food. Some people enjoy fast food. I'm one of them. I don't know. I don't have as much of a problem with it as other people do.
I got these cheeseburgers, man.
Now, who was that?
That's when he walked out. He was with the Clemson. They got off the bus. They were walking towards the front door. Trump walked out and said,
"Man, I got these cheeseburgers, man."
So he's welcoming them to the White House.
Yeah, man.
That's very nice.
Nothing wrong with it, Crowder.
Nothing wrong with that. That's very nice. All right. Well, there you have it. That's what happened at the White House yesterday with the national champion Clemson Tigers. We'll take a quick break. Will Manso from Local 10, he's going to join us at 4 o'clock.
Radio.com. Radio. 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 Radio.
Couldn't get away from the Throwback Tuesday.
I mean, this is an old Run DMC song, like, and no one knows this song but me. Where did you find this?
You must have given it to me because it was in our folder.
Yeah, I haven't heard this in forever.
Thought it was a Super Bowl shuffle. Sound like it in the beginning. Yeah, this is before me.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a documentary I told you on Netflix about Jam Master Jay and his murder. It was really good. I tweeted out this morning. This is one of the things that Falero was picking on me about. I tweeted out this morning, hey, Netflix is raising their prices. I saw it on Twitter this morning, and I said, I'm thinking about getting rid of it. I don't know if I watch it enough.
You watch a movie every week, every day.
Every night. He goes, shut up. You watch a movie every night. Move
I didn't
on.
Tell you to
something
shut
like
up.
That. It was really rude. And I don't watch a movie every night. And I very rarely watch Netflix. I don't know if it's worth keeping it around. And the last thing that I really watched on Netflix was Bird Box. And it kind of soured me to the whole thing.
That's why they're changing it. People said, this Bird Box crap, get the hell
no,
out of here.
No, you know what? That Bird Box is so popular.
It increased the price.
That they're allowed now to increase the prices because if they're going to have, you know, like theatrical first run releases like Bird Box, more people are going to sign up for it. Little do they know, it's a terrible movie.
I tell you this, I know why they need to increase the cost, because when you said it was increased, I was going to ask you, how much is it?
That's why. I'm the only guy that pays for it. I donate to Wikipedia, and I use my own Netflix account.
No,
and
I use my own Netflix account. Everybody uses mine.
Yeah. Let me get the password. It'd be six I have.
The number of texts, I have to tell you, you people that hear a fast food at the White House story and immediately cape up for the fast food, you're ruining America.
It's so dumb.
You are ruining America. We never once, listen to what I said. Don't hear what you want to hear. We never once criticized the politics of anyone involved. It was a discussion about whether it's okay to serve fast food at a celebratory event. And then I even told you, someone texted in. They had a wedding catered by Chipotle. They said they loved it. So,
if Falero's wedding comes up and there's McDonald's, Domino's, and Burger King,
you'll hear about it.
Bro, I'm hitting it. I'm gone and I'm taking my. Yes.
It's free.
So, all.
Man, I don't want that crap.
All you people that are texting in, somebody literally texted in, stick to sports, douchebag. Nobody wants to hear your liberal propaganda. Okay. Let's talk about the liberal propaganda for a moment. What was the liberal propaganda in the last segment? I took the side of Trump serving the fast food, jackass! I sat here and argued that it was okay and that I liked it. And that at a bar mitzvah, I go to the kids' table because the food's better. So you tell me exactly what the liberal propaganda was. What was the liberal propaganda?
Man, I got these cheeseburgers, man.
That was liberal propaganda?
Maybe the prayer?
The prayer. Now, the prayer, this I hadn't heard, and it may change the story a little bit. Again, here is President Trump saying a prayer over the fast food before he served all the fast food to Clemson.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons.
Eric, Donald Jr., DJ,
as we call him. And of course, my red hot smoking wife,
Melania,
who's a stone cold fox. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate,
Sean Hannity,
who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
God, everybody lighten up. Can you imagine being so tightly wound that you hear the funny fast food at the White House story and it just triggers you? Like, whoa, you guys, how dare you even talk about the meal? Why don't you just say vote for Hillary? Huh?
It's like, ridiculous,
what?
Man. That's what we are, though.
What are you talking about? We're talking about fast food at the White House. Like, it's funny. It's a funny story.
It was great to me. I woke up and saw it. Well, last night, you know, we actually saw it. I was like, oh, this would be great to talk
about. I love seeing the picture of Donald Trump with the tables covered with fast food and the elegance of the White House.
There's a great tweet out there that said House of Carbs.
House of Carbs.
That's awesome.
That was brilliant. That really was brilliant. I thought the whole scene was fun. Like that. I have no problem with it whatsoever, but I have no problem with people talking about whether it was funny or appropriate. It seems to be a fair conversation. Then somebody texts in, well, there was 1,000 Donald tweeted this morning, 1,000 hamburgers. There were 1,000 hamburgers out there. He goes, if there were about 150 kids, they each ate about 6, so they must have liked it. Hey, man, I've been to plenty of parties where whatever they served me, I ate. Didn't mean I liked it. I mean, that's bro, like, if that's your argument that, oh, no, it was wildly appropriate because they ate it. No, they traveled all day. Again, I'm arguing for it. I have no problem with it.
I'll tell you this. Every time I come over your house, you got that hummus out.
Right.
I eat the hell out of that hummus.
Right. He hates hummus.
I don't
hummus.
Like hummus.
Next time I might put out cottage cheese. And let me tell you something. If he's hungry, he's going to eat the cottage cheese.
What kind of hummus is this again? What's these peppers on top? Ooh, I'm hungry. Come on, man. This is ridiculous.
Oh, everybody, settle down. And honest, and this is my honest to God truth. If you're not chill enough to have a funny little aside while listening to the radio about fast food at the White House, this isn't the show for you. Just tune out.
Yeah.
I'm being 100% honest. If what you heard us talking about, hamburgers in the last segment, hamburgers, if that got you riled up enough to text me, I'm a douchebag, and leave that out of your sports radio, I'm telling you, go listen to 790, go listen to 640, go listen to 940, go listen to 610 probably for your political talk. It's not the show we do.
I want you to go to the mall and get a date.
Go to the mall, get a date.
Walk up on somebody.
Walk
hey, how
up
you
to
doing?
Someone. You need to relax. Maybe get a massage.
Get a massage.
Salt therapy. There's
what the hell is salt therapy?
You haven't seen salt therapy? That's the hot new thing.
Salt therapy?
You literally sit in a room. It's got salted walls, floors, ceilings, and the salt is like a curative for whatever ails you.
What ails you is you high. You're going to have high blood pressure.
You don't ingest the salt.
Seeping through your skin.
You don't ingest
okay.
the salt.
Okay, you think hypertension's funny.
Let me tell you something. You eat enough fast food at the White House, you're going to have hypertension. But that's not political. Blood pressure is not partisan politics.
I got these cheeseburgers.
Man, I got these cheeseburgers, man.
You never heard of salt therapy?
No.
I'm looking at pictures here. It looks kind of weird.
But I've done it all. When I was playing, I did everything.
You did Santeria.
I did Santeria. I've done the saunas. I've done the acupuncture, the electric acupuncture.
You never heard of salt therapy?
You sit up in salt?
Yeah.
Salt makes your feet fat. I know that.
It's on the floor. There's just salt on the floor.
That'll
make you
it's on the walls, though, too.
That'll make your feet fat.
Salt therapy. Yeah, it's like a curative. I got to see.
It works for respiratory tract and lungs.
I don't believe that. That's like telling people to play in the mud. There's people that pay to play in the mud.
It's good for your skin.
See, look.
Come on, man.
That woman's in a salt room right there. You see the salt's on the floor, it's on the ceiling, it's on the walls.
Well, why can't I find some dummies to come to my company?
Let's do that. Hey, see if we can get a salt therapy company that will have me, Crowder, and Falero in. And before the show one day, we'll go get some salt therapy.
God, we're going to think of something dumb for people to buy.
If fast food at the White House got you all riled up politically, go see my friends at salttherapy.com. I don't even know if that's a website. Go get yourself some fast food, extra salt, and rub the fry on your face.
Could you go in there and drop your fry on the ground and pick it up?
In the salt therapy room?
In the salt therapy room.
Yeah, you can bring a margarita in there. You can do whatever you want.
I just don't. I don't think it's real.
Salt therapy. I'm telling you, they're booming. There's salt therapy rooms all over the place. I'm telling you.
Walking there with all the glasses upside down on the floor.
All right. We did not talk anything political. If you heard something political, you have salt in your ears. Go listen to something else. We don't need you. How many businesses do you hear say that to potential customers? We don't need you. And I'm being honest. We don't need you. Will Manso, he's the sports director at Local 10. We're going to talk some sports and salt and no politics with him next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.